Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Grown-ups to be seated, and any kids who want to come forward, join me for a moment up here. Invite you to come on down, and if you're worshiping from home or from vacation somewhere, get a little closer to your screens, and we'll share a moment together on this very warm summer day. Hello, everyone. Looks like you have an ouchie. Hope it's feeling. Oh, it's a brokey. I hope it's feeling better. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Like your shirt, Teddy? So cool. Welcome, welcome. As y'all are making your way in, hopefully everybody can see and hear. How many of you are 5 years old? How many five-year-olds? Yeah. How many of you remember being 5 years old out there? Yeah. Most of us out there have already been 5 years old. When I was 5 years old, my family moved. We moved from a small town about 3 hours away from Nashville called Union City, and we moved to the big city of Nashville. And I was going to be starting a brand new school in the first grade. We started going to a brand new church, new neighbors, new friends, everything was new, and I was a little bit scared and a little bit anxious. And I remember I shared a room with my older sister, Sarah, and that first night when we were in our new house, I got a little scared and nervous when we went to bed. And so I got out of the bed, and I crawled over to my sister Sarah's bed, and I said, "Can I lie down with you for a minute?" And she was, "Oh, I'm already asleep, but okay." And so I went to sleep with my sister Sarah. And even though I was scared, it was really comforting to have her there with me and to know that she wasn't worried. There's a story that Miss Hannah just read for us about a time when the disciples are with Jesus in a boat and the water and the waves are really strong and the disciples are really scared and Jesus is asleep on a cushion in the boat. He's peaceful and calm. And they woke him up and asked for help and he calmed the waters of the storm. And at the end, he reminded them, "You didn't have to be afraid because I'm with you." But you know what? We do get afraid, and it's okay when that happens. Next time you're feeling a little afraid, I invite you to put your hand on your heart. Remember that Jesus is with you in your heart. And say a little prayer. "Jesus, give me peace." And maybe that'll help. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are with us always. And you can give us peace when we're afraid. You can remind us that we're not alone. And we thank you for giving us people in our lives who can hold us and take care of us and remind us that we're safe and that you love us. Help us to be that kind of friend to other people too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 5-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 3-year-olds can go to Children's Church. He was showing me his new Bible that he brought to church. I think that's a good example for all of us to bring our Bibles to church. So if we flip through the Gospels, if we have our Bibles and we look through the Gospels, we might discover that the Gospel of Mark is probably the hardest on the disciples. The way Mark tells the story of Jesus is not very flattering to those 12 disciples. Most of the time, they are pretty, the best word I've come up with is thick-headed. They just don't get who Jesus is, what the purpose of his life and mission is. They don't always understand the parables. They're often trying to shush people and keep people away from Jesus while he is open-armed and wants people to gather around him. They just don't get it most of the time. And in our lesson today, which Hannah read for us, they don't seem to understand the power and the presence that Jesus had. There are times when I'm reading the Gospel of Mark when I just shake my head at the disciples. I mean, don't they know? Don't they get it? But in this case, I'm with them. I totally sympathize with how they're feeling and how they're acting in this story. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are drowning? Have you ever said a prayer like that? I know I have. So let's see what these disciples are dealing with in this moment. For one thing, they're exhausted. They have been traveling with Jesus all around the Galilee, the Jewish villages of the Galilee. He's been going like gangbusters since the very beginning of Mark's gospel. He's been teaching and preaching and casting out demons and healing, and the crowds have gotten bigger and bigger, and they're so big at the beginning of this chapter that Jesus has to sit in a boat on the edge of the lake to have enough space from the crowds in order to teach and be heard, because they're just all reaching out, wanting to touch him, wanting to be close to him. And then Jesus says at the end of that day, let us go to the other side of the lake. Now, part of Jesus' motive might have been to give himself and the disciples a break from the crowd, to go all the way on the other side of the lake and get some rest. He does that later in the 6th chapter of Mark. It could also be that he wants to take them on another mission, to extend their ministry beyond the Jewish villages of the Galilee and go among the Gentile villages. This could be an area that the disciples had not been to before, a different culture, a different set of beliefs, different kinds of people, and this is really about to take them out of their comfort zones. So they're probably feeling anxious about that. But they follow Jesus, they launch the boats, they start heading off to the other side of the lake. And as my grandmother used to say, there come up a storm. And it was a big one and a bad one. Rembrandt painted a version of this story. It's on the cover of your bulletin. It's a painting, by the way, that's been stolen and no one knows where it is, but we have it in front of us, this classic depiction, and you can see the waves that are crashing into the boat, and the text says that it is nearly swamped. So add to the anxiety and fear of the disciples this storm and threat of death. Even though Peter, Andrew, James, and John are all professional fishermen, they spent their life on this sea, they're scared to death. And who wouldn't be? Except Jesus. They look over and he is asleep. Mark gives us this wonderful detail. Not only is he asleep, but he has his head on a cushion. He's comfortably asleep. He is at total peace, complete rest. And the disciples shout out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are drowning?" They see Jesus asleep, and they assume that means he doesn't care and he's not going to do anything. Before we look at how Jesus responds to their plea, I want to pause and put ourselves in the shoes of those disciples. For some of us, it may not be hard to do that. Maybe you want to ponder the image on the front of the bulletin, or maybe you want to close your eyes for a minute and just imagine the storms and the waves of your life. Whether it's a physical illness, a mental health struggle, a relationship breaking apart, the struggles of our society, the struggles to be who you are, the concerns about the church or the world around you, or the waves just come crashing in. And we get to that moment where we're wondering, does God even notice what I'm going through? Does God care? I feel like I'm about to be overwhelmed. I'm about to drown. Teacher, do you not care that we are drowning? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said that kind of prayer? Well, if so, we now turn our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and attention to Jesus in this story. How does he respond? First of all, let's look at the fact that he's asleep with his head on a cushion. Does that mean that he doesn't care? Does that mean that God doesn't care about our struggles, about our pains, about our sense of overwhelm and fear and doubt and all of those things? I think we know God better than that. I think what Jesus is showing us in this moment is that no matter what the storm is, no matter how high the waves are, no matter how battered we feel by life, by the world around us, there is a place with Christ where there is utter deep peace that can always be ours. It is always for us and with us. As I was talking with the children and inviting them to place their hands on their heart, I find that helpful in my own life, to think about Christ in my heart with his head on the cushion of my heart, always there with deep peace. Sometimes it takes a practice like a breath prayer. Be still and know that I'm God. Lord Jesus, give me peace. A few deep breaths in the midst of the storm to remember that God is with us always. When Jesus awakens, the first thing he does is he stands up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. He doesn't rebuke the disciples. He doesn't ask them, "What is your deal? Don't you trust me? Don't you know me by now? Why did you wake me up?" No, he doesn't do that. He stands up and says, it's two words in the Greek, and it's pretty forceful. Be quiet. Be muzzled. Calm down. Stop it. However you want to imagine Jesus saying this, but strongly rebuking the winds and bringing calm and safety and peace. And the disciples, I think, may be even more terrified than they were before, because they had underestimated who Jesus was and his desire and his power to save them. Did you notice how they cried out to him? Teacher, do you not care that we are drowning? They didn't say Lord. They didn't say Savior. It's like they forgot who he was. And he stands up and he rescues them. And he quiets everything down. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to take away every struggle, that all the things that are causing us stress or that we are working through and managing in our lives, in our culture, in our world are just going to go away, that God's going to fix all of that. But it does mean that God is with us and can give us the peace and the steadiness, and to remind us that, as we talked a little bit about last week, it is God who has the power to transform us and transform the world. It's not up to us to fix it all. And we must never underestimate the desire of our God and the power of our God to transform us and to transform the world. And so the disciples are speechless at what Christ has just done. And then he invites them to reflect on what has just happened. Why were you afraid? What was going on in your hearts that caused you to be so afraid? Why did you not trust me? And sometimes after we have made it through a crisis, or when we've gotten to a place where we feel more at peace and less anxious, we need to enter into those prayerful conversations with one another and with God. Why was I so afraid? Why did I have trouble trusting that God would bring me through? And perhaps that will help us to trust more the next time around. It's very real, friends. The waves get high. We get battered. We get scared. I have prayed this prayer this week. God, do you not care that I'm drowning? I invite you to take a moment to pray with me. Whatever it is that is battering your boat today, to put yourselves in that boat. You may close your eyes, or again, ponder the image on the bulletin cover, or maybe look to the image of Jesus in the stained glass window, or I'll move over so you can see the cross. And let's pray together. Lord, Savior, our God and friend, you know the ways that we feel battered and overwhelmed, close to being swamped and drowning. You know all the reasons that we, your gathered people, are feeling this way. Thank you for not condemning our fears and our doubts, but instead rising up and offering us peace, reminding us that you have the desire and the power to bring us peace and healing, to show us the way forward, even as you might lead us to new places beyond our comfort zone. We look to you, and we long to trust you more. Help us in this moment with open hands to offer you once again our complete trust. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead us on to the light. Take our hands, precious Lord, lead.